This morning, because I believe that God's power and God's presence has done something in somebody's life. I'm sure already there are people who will have a testimony, but at the end of the service, we'll hear from you. Bringing you greetings again from Managua, Nicaragua, the biggest country in Central America. I didn't know it was as far as it was. By the time you arrive, Brazil, on the route we took, you have at least 7.5 more hours of journey. But we thank God, great reception. You see the clips of it, and great move of the power of God. We arrived this morning about 4 a.m. And we thank God for journey mercies. Somebody say amen. This morning, Blessing Sunday, it is titled Authentic Spirituality, Secret of the Blessing. Authentic Spirituality, Secret of the Blessing. That humming sound can be handled, I'm sure. Many people look for the blessing of God, and they are so focused on the blessing. This morning, we want to first of all understand the connection between authentic spirituality and the blessing of God. And number two, to understand what constitutes authentic spirituality. The relationship between authentic spirituality and the blessing of God. And then, what exactly constitutes authentic spirituality? Psalm 24 verse 3. It said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is it? Verse 6. This is the generation that seek him. The generation that seek him are a generation that receive the blessing from him. Many people seek things. They seek the blessing. They seek money. But there is authentic spirituality that is a highway to the blessing of God. We look at examples in scripture. Number one, Abraham. Abraham left all to follow. He left all to follow God. He left all to follow. He left all to follow God's direction. According to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 5, when God told him to get out of his father's house, his kindred, everything, and just leave everything and follow me, he followed God's direction, not even knowing where he was going. So Abraham departed. And in verse 5, he went forth to go into the land of of Canaan. And to the land of Canaan he came. How do you leave everything? How do you just abandon yourself, abandon everything and follow God like a fool? Look at the outcome of what that foolishness did for Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 2, Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold. He left everything. He followed God. In Genesis 24 and in verse 1,
And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed him in all things. Genesis 21 and in verse 35, 24 and in verse 35. The Bible said, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, Abraham's servant speaking. And he has become great and has given flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Abraham left all, followed God. That was where that led him to. Example number two, Job. In Job chapter 1 and in verse 1 to verse 3, the Bible said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and God and he eschewed evil, and his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Job 27 verse 1, all the way to verse 3, you see, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who vexed my soul. He thought God was behind him, but he said, all the while my breath is in me, even though I think God is attacking me, and my spirit, and the spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness. Nothing will make me speak against God. Nothing will make me talk against God, nor my tongue utter deceit. Next verse. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove my integrity from me. That was a man in calamity, still holding on to God. If you doubted that, look at Job 13:15. He said, even if he slays me, yet will I trust him. I will maintain my ways. That is, he was a die-hard follower of God. That's what you mean, die-hard. Even if he kills me, I'm not changing my position with him. That was the man. And by the time the season of calamity came and passed, the later end of Job became bigger than his former. Third example was Daniel. Daniel was notorious for authentic dedication for God. He was notorious. He was known. Well known. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 1 and in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That was Daniel. He will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He was notorious. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 5, you saw how Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king fought to set him over the whole realm. Why? The presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now look at what they said. And these men said, we shall not find anything against Daniel, except what we find it concerning the law of his God. If you want to catch Daniel, ask him to break the law of his God. Move him against God, then he will fall because he will not move against God. When they now say nobody should pray, Daniel 6 and in verse 10, he went and opened his windows as at other times and prayed, so that nobody will claim that they never heard him pray. What was the outcome of Daniel? Daniel chapter 2, the man who was notorious. His family members knew him. His classmates knew him. His colleagues at work knew him. His bosses knew him. His subordinates knew him. Daniel chapter 2 verse 46 to verse 49. See where this kind of dedication ended him. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, a human being. A king was worshipping a human being. and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Then the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, and a revealer of secrets. See, you could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested for his friends to come up. That is what dying heart for God, that is what he does for people. In Daniel chapter 5 and in verse 29, Daniel 5 and in verse 29, see what happened to Daniel again. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. His dedication to God. And Daniel chapter 6 verse 28, the Bible said, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Beloved, authenticity of spirituality is a major key to authority and prosperity in life. Authenticity of spirituality. Let me say it this way. When you are real with God, the goodness of God becomes real in your life. When you are real with God, the goodness of God becomes real in your life. On our arrival, we were received by some members of their country's leadership, including a minister. At the program, at least there were three or four ministers of their cabinet there. Now, you traveled all the way without asking anybody for sisi or shishi. You paid your hotel. You did everything. You took not one dime from there. Not one naira. Not $1. Paid your way. Paid your hotel. Paid everything. And you're not stranded. And you're not bankrupt. And you're not in short supply of nothing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? All you need to know is to know the implication of how we traveled and came. Just know the implication. So I want to advertise to you what we have proved that works. People may look at you like you are a mumu, you are wasting your time, you are this, you are that. But the mumuciousness of God is better than the cunningness of man. So what constitutes authentic spirituality? When we say this person is authentic, is real, number one, is dieless, unconquerable passion for God. There is a dieless passion. There is an unconquerable passion for God. As the deer panted for the waters, so my soul longed after you. You alone are my heart's desire. Ran along to worship you. You are my strength, my shield. To you alone.
May my spirit yield. You alone, I heart desire, ran along to worship you. May my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire. Bring along to you. You alone. One more time. That was Psalm 42 and in verse 1 to 2. As the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 6. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm 63 and in verse 1 to 2, he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longed for thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Question I want to ask someone here is, what and who do you love above everything else in your life? What do you hunger for? What do you yearn for? Many of us grew up spiritually with a passion and a hunger for God. And then life happened to us. We just entered the frenzy of seeking what to eat and what to drink and how to drive and how to be like everybody and how to defeat somebody and how to outshine somebody and how to define somebody. And all of a sudden, focus on God is lost. Prayer life becomes a struggle. Study of the word becomes a formality. There is nothing deep that calls you towards God. Just as I hunger for the physical food, that's just the way that I hunger for you. Just like I hunger for the physical food, that's just the way that I hunger for you. I want you to know that I hunger for you. I want you to know that I hunger for you. I want you to know that I hunger for you. I want you to know
that I hunger for you.
You know, in the physical, when a child does not like to eat food, it's a sickness situation. Anorexia, loss of appetite, no desire for food. You give him, he's throwing it away. In the spiritual, it is also a sickness situation, where a person is not desiring God. No hunger for God. No hunger for spiritual things. People come alive for material and physical things. But they are just normal. And when it comes to the things of God, all you need to do is to play a football game for somebody and then it comes alive. Or just talk about money and they come alive. Talk politics and they come alive. And talk what else? Fashion, they come alive. Cars, they come alive. Any other thing. But talk God and talk church and they are looking at their time. And they are yawning. I've never seen anybody falling asleep during a football match. They are playing. And at the end they say, who scored? Have you ever seen anybody like that? The same person will fall off in church asleep on the spot. Under 20 minutes. He's dozing. And then he's checking time. For it. A 1 hour service, but you wait for 1.5 hours. Somebody will watch a 3 hour movie, series 1, series 2, to be continued. It feels like he died if he didn't, if he missed the second the continuation. That's what has happened to our generation, and we are wondering why God is not for, is not dealing with us the way we expect. He said, draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You see, I see your heart is very far from me. I see that there are other things that has drawn your attention. What constitutes this spirituality? It's guileless, unconquerable passion for God. Number two, it's lively, living conscience. Conscience that is alive. A conscience that is living, it constitutes spirituality that is authentic. Acts 24 verse 16, Paul the apostle said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards men. A conscience that is alive. A conscience that can feel guilty when he is guilty. In Isaiah 33 and in verse 15 to verse 16, the Bible said, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, this person shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him, and his water shall be sure. This person whose conscience towards God is clean and clear. In Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 25, he gives us a consequence of saying, your iniquities have torn away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. So there is a way you are living where the conscience is not clear, that has made good things not to reach you. And then he went further in Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 24. Jeremiah 7:24. He said, but they hearkened not nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. For that purpose they went backward and not forward. Their life should be going forward, but they are going backward. You can imagine somebody sitting in church on Sunday and send money to the village for sacrifice on Monday, Tuesday. Native doctor patronage. Local, he's a local man. He's a church person, but he's a local man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is, do you know what I mean? Local. Very local. Illiterate people in the village are guiding him on what to do with his life. An educated man in the city. Illiterate people. Illiterate patronizers of shrine and altars. But there was a time when your life was not like that, where your heart was clean and clear, where it was either God or God. Now there are alternatives. You are whispering in Chebo. Oguchekwo. Local man, very local. Local woman. Am I communicating at all? We must come to that point. Elijah said, if God be God, serve him. If it is Baal, serve him. The God that answered by fire, let him be God. You can't mix the two. There are those looking for money now and looking for money for blood money. They can do anything to arrive at money. Including duping a man, including killing person, if possible. What shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world? And nobody can gain the whole world and yet lose his soul. It's a new day for you. I won't be surprised if somebody carry a charm in the pocket now. I won't be surprised. Or carry a ring that is a demonic one. I came for service. Hallelujah. And so people are doing that and then still asking God for blessing. Lord, bless me. Lord, God said, what? He said, you can deceive man. You can even deceive yourself, but not me. Somebody say amen. Lively living conscience. Number three is Christ-centered, God-centered living. Christ-centered, God-centered living. Authentic spirituality means that a man's life is centered on God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 15, he said, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, popular scripture. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is talking about a life that is solely and completely centered on God. Solely, completely, entirely. It is deciding, the decision, that if life is not lived for Christ, it is not good for it to be lived at all. I've seen people talk about, let me use my church mind to deal with you on this matter. So there is a mind for church and there is a mind for business. God-centered, Christ-centered. Oh, this business has $1 million as profit, right? Thank you for the information, but the way the business is, it is not for me. It does not belong to me. It does not belong to me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It does not belong to me. It doesn't belong to me. Christ said, this work doesn't belong to me. It will destroy my spiritual life. This employment, this particular new job, it will destroy my relationship with God. It will even destroy my family. Please, I'm sorry, I will look for something else. That is where life is centered on God. It's centered on Christ. It's God-centered, Christ-centered. There are people, their lives are money-centered. They will take any decision if money is the consideration. If it's going to pay more, if it is going to send them out of the country and back and go and come, provided money is the consideration and the money involved is good, anything can go to hell. Marriage can perish. I've seen people practically destroy their marital relationships. In the name of I am abroad, my husband is here. Oh, I'm here, husband is there. I don't understand. Husband is abroad for 15, wife is abroad for 15 years. Husband is here. Correspondence. It is hard to understand. Do you understand? In the name of anything, in the name of anything. But if we are going to make Christ the consideration and the basic things of life, the most profitable things of our lives, there are decisions that won't be taken. And God is watching all of these things. And as He watches them, He determines His blessing. I'm not saying that when circumstances made it impossible and there is a disconnection because of certain circumstance that is transient. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you know the consequences of this decision and it's going to be a permanent disconnection. This point is saying, if we are going to be authentic with God, the decisions of our lives must have God in the center. I'll speak more about that in the second service. Authentic spirituality is God, Christ-centered, God-centered living. And when we live like that, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 13 becomes our portion. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to see. Paul the Apostle said, I am wired to have abundance. So when necessary, I can be abased. That is, because of the way I've decided to live for Christ, I am not struggling for anything. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. That was number four is demonstrating passion for God. True passion for souls. When you can say, this person is real, is authentic spiritually, they have passion for souls because they have passion for God. 2 Peter chapter 8 and in verse 9. He said, what did I say? 2 Peter 3, 9. 2 Peter does not have chapter 8. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you have that passion in the heart of God and you connect with it. And then in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, all the way to verse 20, He spoke to them and He said unto them, go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And then in Luke chapter 22, verse 35, He said to them, when I sent you to go and preach without pause, without scrip, without shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. When you sent us, we lacked nothing. Somebody say a loud amen. In the late 70s, early 80s, anybody who was born again around that time, one thing we know is that you must have tracks in your pocket. You don't consider yourself fully dressed until there is tract in your pocket. In case you are unable to preach, you will give out the tract. In those days, you are inside the bus. It's as if you committed a sin if you didn't preach. Inside the taxi, you wake up in the morning cry. boss evangelism. Those were the kind of things. Nobody carried paper in church for prayer requests. We didn't know then that God used to answer requests. Do you understand what I'm saying? We were not doing anything in exchange for anything. It was just a pure love for God. Yeah. Just love for God. You know, this is what to live for. Later on, we realize that, hey, God blesses people. Are you following what I'm saying here today? But today, the first thing, even during praise worship, somebody's lifting up paper of prayer requests. Worship is on. In a real one day, I was so angry. Drop that paper. You remember? Drop that paper. Finish with God first. Face God first. When you are true with God, God will be true with you. Today, somebody comes to church. For 1 year, he has not invited one soul to church. What kind of Christianity is that? It doesn't cross his mind that his neighbor need God, colleague in the office need God, classmate need God. Something is wrong. As we are passing through the airports, people will be led to Christ. As we land, people are being led to Christ. Not just in the church here. I have met 2 or 3 people who told me, you witnessed to us in ShopRite. I didn't go to shop, I went to preach. Planted in this church. Some don't do some. When I heard that, I said, okay, I need to go back there again. That particular location. I'm doing others, but I need to go there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Huh? 8 people came from the airport last week. Where they met us at the airport. Pastor, pray for us. I said, okay, first of all, the first prayer is to surrender your life to Christ. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is what God sees. How do you travel all the way? 16 hours journey. And money was not a consideration. Souls. 16 solid hours. And coming back was about 15 and a half. There was tailwind, so I think it was faster. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And that was not your, and you didn't come with $1 back. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Our priorities, they determine our prosperity. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I like us to wake up. Finally, because of time. So we are laboring with the Father in the harvest field. That is what it means. What constitutes authentic spirituality, number 5, is laying treasures. In and for eternity. Laying treasure. In eternity, for eternity. And there are 2 dimensions of this. The first dimension of it is living with eternity in view. Living like there is, like the world does not end in this, like everything does not end in this world. Like there is a life after life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12 to 14. The Bible said, and further by this, my son, be admonished of making many books, there's no end, and much study is the weariness of the flesh. Now move on. And let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You live with the end in mind, the end of life. the end of all flesh. You live with that in mind. You behave with that in mind. And secondly, you live, is living and making deposits in and for eternity. Living and making deposits in and for eternity. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 to 21. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You know why many rich people don't want to hear about death? Because everything they have is on this earth. Nothing is waiting for them in eternity. You can't talk about death or afterlife before a rich man who doesn't know God. It's a bad topic. How they wish life does not end. How they wish. So they can continue amassing money and continue living without God and continue oppressing people. But too bad for them. Life is terminal. And they don't want to. But show me a genuine man who is donated. When our own time is up, by God's grace, it is with joy. Because the deposits there is heavy. With too much joy. I'm talking of financial money that you cannot use on yourself. Bam! You drop into the kingdom. Time, energy, resources. 29, 30 years of full-time church ministry by this November. When last was the holiday? Let me go on holiday. For where? Holiday was work. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And I have nothing against that. I'm talking about deployment of life. Beloved, make deposits by how you live and by the things you do for the kingdom. On a monthly basis, and like the youth of this generation will say, on a regular. Yes, sir. On a regs. On a regular. Ensure that heavens feel something from you. Lord, this crusader, they are going everywhere. I am not the one preaching and I may not be able to go. Let this money go for me. Let this money buy a little fuel. Let this money print one handbill. Let this money impact a soul. Beloved, when you do this minimum, you don't beg God to bless you. God will bless you until people are wondering. Maybe you are using something. Someone asked me some time ago, and that person is also a pastor. So what is the secret of the money and the resources that is doing everything? I say it is God. And the person say, only. That is there a business by the side? Is there something by the side? I say, only. If you see God, ask him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground.
While I sing this song, anywhere you are today,
We have seen five things that confirm our Christianity is authentic. It's a dialect, unconquerable passion for God. Number two is lively living conscience. Number three is a Christ-centered, God-centered living. Number four is demonstrating passion for God, true passion for souls. Number five is laying treasures in eternity and for eternity.